Hey Fab, how's it going today?
It is going fantastic today.
Yeah, I don't think I'm liking your tone right now.
Well, we played a game last week, didn't we?
You know, I don't remember much about the last
I remember it perfectly.
I've been trying to forget.
So. I'm sure you have. But we played a game actually during our minisode, and it was called How American Are You?
We did, yes.
And because we are both very competitive people, we decided to have a friendly wager.
I thought it was friendly.
It's a very friendly wager, right? I think, and it could have been a lot worse.
Yes, I guess so, but all right.
So what did we bet on again? What was the bet?
All right, because you're dragging this out. So
can you let me enjoy it?
So we played a game where you had to guess which companies were still manufactured and owned American companies, and you did okay.
I won. So that's more than okay, because I won.
Fair enough. And the wager was that if you had lost, you would have had to read a open love letter to your favorite, I think he's your closet favorite.
I'm so glad I won.
In the world.
I'm a big Giants fan, and I don't like Tom Brady. You know, what else is new?
So you would have had to write an open love letter to Mr. Tom Brady. But unfortunately, because you won, now I have to read an open love letter to someone who I find.
Overrated. Those were your words. So often we constantly debate about who's the best athlete, who's the best actor, who's the best this and that. And we were having a conversation around music. And I remember you saying that you think Beyonce is overrated.
Yeah, no, she is overrated. and now that I've lost this, I'm forced to do something that really goes against every bit of my will.
So you have to, because you lost the bet, really acknowledge how wrong you were in your judgment in insulting Miss Beyoncé Knowles, in my opinion, one of the top R&B artists of our time. I'm actually gonna do you a favor. I'm gonna stop the bleeding right now. I'm gonna dive right to this letter, because I think this letter is really like a work of art.
Because you wrote it. So just for our audience, I have not actually read this letter. This is, you guys are going to get my reaction as I read this. And trust me, my stomach is already bubbling just from trying to hold down.
You got to do the best you can, though. Yeah. You got to do the best you can to sell.
Wait a minute. No. That wasn't part of the agreement. I'm just reading the letter, and I'm going to get through this.
You got to be a good sport.
Wow. Would you have done the same if it was you? Probably not. Okay, let me start my letter. And can you
when
just
I lose, I can answer that question.
Can you give me some space, please, as I try to focus? Because this is going to take all of my concentration.
Don't take too much time, because we have a show to do.
Oh, in that case, then I'm going to drag this on. All right, here we go. Did you actually put I, Charles?
Yeah, I did.
I, Charles, hereby acknowledge. Like, in case somebody thought it was somebody else. All right. I, Charles, hereby acknowledge my error in judgment by suggesting that Beyonce Queen Bey Knowles, wow, just the full name, is not the best R&B pop artist in the world. Oh, great. That's great. I now see the error in my ways and admit that I was very, very, very wrong. Really?
Yep.
You had to put it 3 times?
Yeah, because that's how wrong you were.
Beyonce not only has an amazing, sorry, I just threw up a little bit, singing voice, but she is one of the best performers I have ever seen. Okay. Her concerts are a work of performance art, and her dance moves and stage presence are equally rivaled by her ability to sing. Not only is she an icon. I can't say that word.
You gotta read it as is.
Not only is she an icon in music, but there's more. She has acted in several. Come on.
She has acted
in several iconic movies.
Yes.
Oh gosh, such as Austin Powers, Dreamgirls, The Lion King, and Cadillac Records, among a few. She has been a solo artist for 17 years and is still setting records. With a total of 17 Grammys and numerous Billboard hits,
yep.
She is such an influential artist, and her songs often become popular phrases and slogans that get adopted by celebrities and regular people alike. Oh, isn't that nice?
To the left, to the left.
Regular people. Destiny's Child. Oh, gosh. One of the best and most influential R&B female and R&B groups in the 90s.
Yes.
Which speaks to Beyoncé's longevity as an artist. There is no artist alive.
There is no artist alive. Say that.
There is no artist alive that can come close to what Beyoncé has accomplished and will continue to accomplish for, oh gosh, for years to come. I believe that by the time Beyoncé retires, I will celebrate. Oh, that wasn't in there?
No ad-libbing, please.
I believe that by the time Beyoncé retires, she would have taken the throne. No.
You have to read the letter.
This is for... Okay. She would have taken the throne from Michael... Okay, you know, it doesn't say Michael Jackson, so that could be another Michael.
It is Michael.
No, I'm reading it as is. From Michael as the queen of hip-hop and R&B. Great, because Michael was not the queen of hip-hop and R&B.
I said pop and R&B.
Oh, pop and R&B. Great. Michael was not the queen, so that's cool. She can have that. Almost done here. Beyoncé creates culturally relevant music and marries that... Did Beyoncé write this? Did you get Beyoncé to put this together? And marries that with awe-inspiring performances. Wow. Due to all of this, I have no choice. I literally have no choice. But to admit that Beyoncé is a GOAT.
Yep.
Oh, she's the GOAT. I'm sorry. I thought you said that she was a GOAT.
The GOAT.
The GOAT. And the best to ever do it, period.
Oh, I am so happy you finally admitted that, Charles. Thank you for saying that on the air.
I'm just glad this is over. And I can go and throw up now.
I am so happy I didn't lose. If I was in your shoes and I had to say something similar about Tom Brady, I would have been sick.
All right. Well, now that we're done with that, can we actually get on with the rest of our podcast?
Let's do it. This is In My Opinion, a course I see into the sometimes quirky and lively conversation between two friends from grad school. We talk about everything and nothing, blending social commentary with strong opinions, often entertaining, sometimes serious, and all the way civil. You know, the way you wish the world would be.
All right, so I'm back from the bathroom. I got my system cleaned out from having read those... I mean, just ridiculous words that you put together. I think Beyoncé put that together.
Look, I actually went online and found a lot of people who feel the same way as I do. So I know I'm not alone in this.
No, there are a lot of crazy people out there. you can definitely find them. But, you know, I was a good... Can we at least acknowledge that I was a good sport here?
You're okay. You're okay. I thought you would be worse because I know how tough that was for you to read.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, you were okay.
Okay.
You could have sold it a little bit more.
I think I did exactly what I needed to do to get through it. But I am excited about our conversation today and not about Beyoncé. But there's been a lot going on in the news, particularly around a very famous divorce, let's say.
Well, which one? There's so many divorces this year.
Very true. But this one involves a very high-profile former rap artist, because I don't think he actually raps anymore.
But yeah, he's more of a producer.
Definitely more in the realm of producer, entrepreneur. And so recently, Dr. Dre and his estranged wife, Nicole Young, filed for divorce. And there was some interesting kind of context that surfaced on the web as a result of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody was talking about it. And I think everybody was really taken by surprise because she asked for $2 million a month.
Yeah, that's a lot.
In temporary allowance or alimony, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so TMZ broke the story and shared her list, her alimony list, which was totaling $2 million, and I found it pretty absurd. I mean, I know people are rich, and you know they're dealing with numbers. You and I just have no concept in, and maybe it was best to leave it that way. But to actually see the list and how it was itemized, I think just added a whole another layer to things.
It sure did. I mean, when I heard $2 million a month, my initial reaction was like, "Wow, that's a lot of money." But when I saw the breakdown, it really made it worse. So some of the things that she had in the budget of how she broke down the $2 million a month was she was requesting $10,000 a month for laundry and cleaning. So it's laundry and cleaning. So maybe the house is, you know, they have a big house. I don't know.
That's a lot of quarters in the laundromat.
I'm sure they do not go to a laundromat. But $10,000 for that. She's also asking for $20,000 for her phone, cell phone, and email.
Yes.
So I pay $80 a month for...
I get a package for my internet.
Yeah, you do the triple play.
And it ain't 20 grand a month.
It's short, it's not even close. Two more items that were kind of a little bit out there. She's asking for $120,000 in charitable donations.
I thought this was the most ludicrous. And we haven't even gotten to the really big number yet.
So I don't know what that means. So, like, is it that she is going to donate to others, or is donations for herself?
Well, I think the next number is going to cover her quite well. But she's literally asking to be given money to give to other people.
Can he just give the money to other
people? Himself, right.
Like, can we stop the middleman?
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe it's because it's a tax thing.
fair enough. Or maybe she wants to keep up the look that she's...
Yes. Or keep up her commitments, donating. Right? Maybe she had commitments to...
But that's being covered in the $2 million. So, like, let's just make it whatever... 120K less, and then use that money for charitable donations.
Right. Well, the biggest amount that she's asking for, close to $1 million, yes. So $900,000.
What could this be for?
Entertainment.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What?
what kind of entertainment is that?
Is she having Beyonce come perform?
Do we have to talk about her again?
At her house? Like
$900,000
a month. Pretty close. I mean, for a private performance.
Oh, gosh, I hope not. But that's crazy for a monthly... realistically, what we're talking about, eating out, we're talking about... I don't know. I doubt she goes to the movies. I'm sure they have a movie theater.
Maybe they maybe traveling.
Traveling could be on that list. But I'm sure she's racking up miles and points. I mean, a million a month. We're not talking about a year. We're talking about $1 million a month. All of this just really sounds very ludicrous.
So look, when you itemize it and how she itemized it is pretty shocking to those of us who are working class people.
Yes.
But when you look at it in a grand scheme of things, what she's really asking for is about $24 million a year. Seems modest to me in terms of celebrity divorce settlements.
We could kind of argue that comparably, Dr. Dre's quote-unquote net worth is close to $1 billion.
Right.
So maybe by comparison, $2 million sounds like a bargain. Is that what we're saying?
Wait, it's not a bargain to me. Maybe it's a bargain to her.
So, you know, I was really kind of curious when all of this kind of was released. It really created a kind of a bit of a firestorm. And even caused people to kind of, as they often do in these moments, choose sides, right?
Yes.
And I think, you know, in some ways to her defense, right, she was married to a very, I think this is where the word icon can actually be used, not the way it was used and I read that letter before.
Oh my goodness.
So can we just talk about Dr. Dre for a moment here? Can I have my moment back, please?
Yes, but you keep bringing her up. Yes, but they're both icons.
Because I'm still in shock.
Continue.
But yes, but Dr. Dre, you know, as probably by now most people know if they've seen the Straight Outta Compton movie, you know, really is someone who has accomplished a lot and has not just from the music standpoint in rapping and producing, but also in his partnership with Apple, be able to kind of go into a whole nother realm with the Beats headphones. And he's been able to do so many more things. But he's really built his empire from the ground up.
Yes, he has.
And
But they were married for a very significant period, I would say, for marriage, right? They were married close to 22 years.
Yeah.
And some of that wealth happened during the marriage.
Yeah, and you know, I was pointing that out to say that I'm kind of in her corner in this way that Dr. Dre is a far more famous and you could even maybe even say sympathetic figure in this case because he is more known than Nicole Young.
I gotta admit, I did not know her name before this.
You're not
right?
The only one.
But we knew who Dr. Dre was.
Right, and we knew that he was married.
Right. That's as much as
just
I
didn't know too. And that could have been a function of them keeping things private. I don't follow Dr. Dre and his marriage to that level. So maybe this is by design.
Right.
But, you know, in this case, I think a lot of people were kind of looking at her as if she was crazy in the way that this alimony list broke down. And it kind of made me think about, you know, a very famous line from your favorite artist. Can we...
He's one of my... I like Drake a lot. Yeah.
What's your nickname for him? Poppy?
That's his own nickname, Champagne Poppy.
Oh my gosh. If I ever had to read a love letter to
man,
him...
Man, are you saying that I missed the ball? I should have made it about Drake and not Beyonce?
Yeah, this would have been the last episode if that happened. But I will give him credit. You know, he can actually rap and write when he's not having other people write lyrics for him. But in a very famous popular song, Stay Scheming, and rest in peace, the real GOAT, Kobe, he says, Kobe, hated had to be him. You wasn't with me shooting in the gym. Hold on, I got to say that again. I got to pay respects to that. So it says, Kobe.
Yeah, do it right.
About to be losing 150 M's. Kobe, my guy, I hated had to be him. Woman, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym. You wasn't with me shooting the gym. I think that should be in every vow that's read during a marriage ceremony.
A lot of people are not going to get married if that is a vow.
And I will say, I mean that on both sides. So this isn't like pointing towards any like male versus female thing. I think when you're entering a marriage where there's one party who is significantly more kind of like established, I think there has to be some parameters. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But before we kind of go too deep into the woods with this, we think it's important to kind of set some context here and kind of talk a bit about the history of alimony and its evolution.
Yeah, so I actually had to look it up a little to understand what alimony really, how it came about, what it is and what does entail, and how did it came to be what we know it as of today.
Okay.
Because I really only have experience with alimony when I see celebrities that get yes. divorced, right?
And high profile ones.
Right? High profile cases, like in my group of friends or yeah. circle, that's not something that really exists, even for people that I know that have gotten divorced. So when we look at alimony and why it was sort of created, it was really a way to give women some protection because they weren't allowed to buy property. They weren't allowed to work
yeah,
and do all these things. So if there was a dissolution of the marriage, then alimony was owed to the women that had, you know, would have been left stranded because they, you know, the house wasn't under her name right. and any property wasn't, she wasn't allowed to do that. But there was actually a stipulation to that. It wasn't automatic. So what that means is that women only received alimony if it was determined that they were not at fault for the divorce.
So this was like a fault-based system.
Yeah, it was a fault-based system. Which means like if the husband can prove that she has some responsibility mm-hmm. for them getting divorced, she got nothing. Mm. And I'm thinking about historically how that would work. It was probably really easy for the husband to make a case that the wife had some responsibility in the divorce.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even just with the context of it, I can kind of see how alimony, which I think has gotten a really bad rap, and, you know, reading the list of demands from Nicole Young, we can poke some fun at it, but there was really an important kind of decision around why this was needed. And so I think it kind of started out with good intentions, but even back then, as you were pointing out, there were some loopholes that could have worked toward the advantage of the husband.
And it took us centuries to get to a point in which alimony no longer is viewed as being gender-based. So it wasn't until the 70s. There were some states in the U.S. that up until the 1970s, alimony was gender-based. It was only something that women were really entitled to. So we are miles away from where we were back then, and alimony is no longer gender-based. base, but there are some variations from state to state.
And I have to say that as a man, it makes me smile that it's no longer gender-based. Because, you know, it did feel kind of a bit sexist, like assuming that it was always the man who had the larger income or the breadwinner. And as time evolved, now to kind of take a step back, you know, women weren't like fully thrusted into the workforce, and we're still fighting for equal pay here, right? So there's still some distinctions here, but I do kind of like that the law evolved to be a little bit more considerate to both sides.
Right, and when we look at like how much time is taking women, like how many male CEOs are there versus women CEOs? So I think part of the reason why we are still seeing that females are, although the law is no longer gender-based, we're still seeing women receive alimony at a higher rate than males do, and partly is because in these high profile cases, men tend to be the ones that make more money in some cases. Also, there's some social stigma about men taking alimony, even if they're not the ones that make more money.
That's true. It does come with an additional stigma. It's one that I would happily live with. So I don't have that problem in this case. But, you know, I think in kind of speaking along those lines, you know, we thought it'd be interesting to kind of look at what are some of the high profile female payouts that have happened over the years that some of the husbands benefited from.
So when I was looking at this, something came to mind for me. And it was back when I was in high school, I remember one of the many divorces from Jennifer Lopez, from J-Lo. I can't even remember which one this was.
There's been a few, yeah.
Because there have been a couple, but it was the one where she married her backup dancer.
Yeah.
And her marriage only lasted about 9 months or so. And she had to pay him $14 million. And I believe this was like late 90s, early 2000s. $14 million went a long way back then. And I was like, this is just really absurd. But what made it even more absurd to me was that she had a hit single back then. Do you remember what it was?
Probably not, but go ahead.
Her hit single that summer was Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Wow, the irony.
Right? It's like, it sure did cost her a pretty penny. When I was looking at some notable sort of female settlements in which the male spouse got big payouts, I came across three. One was Reba McEntire and her husband, Narbel, I think that's how you say it. He received a divorce settlement of $47.5 million.
Wow.
But they were married for a very, very long time. They were married for 26 years. So that was a very significant period of time in which she was accumulating her wealth. The second one is she's probably someone that you remember because it didn't happen too long ago, and it was Madonna and Guy Ritchie.
And Guy Ritchie. I do remember that, and I kind of remember that because I am a fan of both. I love Guy Ritchie movies.
Right.
And Madonna is just Madonna, right?
I mean, right. Another icon, like Beyonce.
An actual icon.
icon, which, you know, a little bit under Beyonce. But Madonna is wealthy, but you can argue that Guy Ritchie is...
He was doing pretty well for himself as
you
well.
You know, maybe not quite as well as Madonna, but he was wealthy.
He wasn't Jennifer Lopez's backup dancer.
Right.
Let's just put it like that.
Definitely not. But he received a settlement. The true amount is not known, but it's somewhere between $76 million and $92 million. Dollars.
I actually have a problem with this one here.
Yeah. They were married for only 8 short years.
Yeah, I mean, he was and still is in a position where he was doing pretty well for himself. I didn't see kind of where the need was for him to have to take this money from Madonna.
Yeah, especially that she probably got a lot of her fortune before she married him.
Oh yeah, no.
So that was a really surprising. And the latest one, actually, you know, we keep talking about 2020 and all the things that happened. So another famous divorce in 2020 was Adele got divorced to her husband, Simon, of a very short 4-year marriage.
Wow.
And can you guess how much money she had to pay Simon?
4 years.
$2 million. Let's say $24 million a year.
Round it up. Let's say $100 million.
Actually, she had to pay him $244 million settlement.
That's crazy.
And we don't know what this looks like, right? Because all of these details are kept pretty secret, pretty tight-lipped. So we don't know if this is all one lump sum or if this gets distributed, in yearly payments. But the total amount is $244 million for 4 years of marriage.
Yeah, I don't think that was a fair one. Because I don't necessarily think that all alimony, and as we looked at the history of it, right, it kind of starts with this good intention of being able to help support someone who was not in a position to support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think this goes far beyond supporting someone. And I think it kind of begins to enter the realm of insanity a bit.
So it's really funny because when we talk about marriage, right? What are those famous vows, like those traditional vows?
Better or worse.
Right? And people often say, what's mine is yours. And I think they take it to heart when they get divorced. It's like, hey, what's mine is yours. So, give it here.
Yeah. So this got us to thinking, with all of these different high-profile alimony settlements going on. And again, we want to keep this in the context because there are some really, I think, and we think, important moments where this can get very messy.
Yes.
And especially when you're talking about people who don't have access to this level of money, every penny counts.
Yep.
And so this is really just taking a look at, and in a bit of a tongue-in-cheek, at those who are just making types of money that we could only dream about. And what these settlements are coming down to after just a short stint of marriage.
And I think, it takes a certain amount of chutzpah, so to speak. I think if someone tells me, I'm going to give you $2 million total, I'm like, okay, cool.
thank you.
Thank you for that, right? I'm rich.
Yes, please. Yeah. Yes, please.
But, we're making light of it. I think also there's a lot of details that we do not know about how these spouses contributed, not contributed, supported, not supported.
That's fair.
That I don't think we're privy to. But when we look at it on paper, it's
crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
And I think that's a fair point to make, right? We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And I think in American culture, we are just overly infatuated with the lives of celebrities.
We are.
We like to peek into their private lives. But truthfully, on a daily basis, we have no idea what spouses are doing, how they're contributing to the success of the other and to their own kind of fortune. So I think that there is a lot to consider here. So we are just admittedly looking at this totally from the surface.
Right. And really from a point of that we are poor and we don't...
we have nothing else to do.
Yeah. And that kind of money is money that we dream about, right?
That's a great reason to talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Good enough for me. So what we wanted to do was, again, in our own minds, kind of play the role of judges here.
Ooh.
And because a lot of this, like Fab said, it is state to state, right? So if we had an opportunity to kind of consider the parameters for alimony settlements, we wanted to think about what were the things that we would actually think are important to consider and then how we would make the determination of how much a person would receive.
So how much we would approve, right? So, did I ever tell you, though, that I thought I wanted to be a lawyer when I was younger?
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, actually, one of my BAs is in political science.
Okay.
Yeah, but then I, went the other way. I probably wouldn't be as poor if I was a lawyer.
Or you would be dealing with alimony settlements, so who knows?
Yeah.
But we looked at a few, and these are actually kind of common considerations that judges are making when they're looking at the settlements, but we wanted to kind of take a bit of a kind of deeper dive, or maybe just more of a kind of quirky look at what we think it would take to really kind of get our approval on, let's say, the $2 million a month. Can we bring that?
Sure. And we know that our approval is, the highest approval.
Yes, of course it is.
In the land, so why not?
This is important. Okay, so the first one is that there has to be a minimum length of time to be married.
Oh my God, yes.
So the 9 months wasn't going to cut it for you?
No, he would have been denied. I would have not approved that settlement.
So what's the minimum number for you?
Oh, man, it's hard because, context matters, right?
Okay.
But I don't think that 9 months a person contributed significantly or deserves or is entitled to any kind of... How much did his life change in 9 months? Like
$40 million, apparently.
14,
okay.
But I think that the minimum for me would be 5 years.
So then what you're saying is before 5 years, so that's the threshold. So if you hit...
I start deducting.
Oh, okay.
You know, you start deducting you start before 5 years. Okay. So if there, no, like you got to come down.
Okay, so it's not that you start with zero until you hit five.
No, not zero. Okay. You know, a little, like something little that's something. Reasonable, like to, you know, be able to find an apartment. Like,
it's
you
like
know,
$2,200 a month.
Not be completely homeless.
Okay.
But... I mean, $14 million. Like, I will make that in my lifetime, I think.
Okay, so then maybe we don't start talking about the first mil until after 5 years.
Fair. Yep, I like that.
You know what? I could probably go along with that. I think 5 years is a good solid time to kind of put some commitment in. Okay.
So it's like if you give someone a wedding present, right? And they divorce before the 5 years. You kind of want that present back. It's like, wait a minute.
Is that you? Are you one of those people?
No, I would never ask for it back. But I'm saying I would think about it. I would say, like, I just spent this much money on your wedding, on the dress, on the gift, and you didn't even make it 5 years.
You know what? To be fair, some people even charge you to, like, travel with them.
Yes.
I would never do that.
It is so expensive to go to a wedding.
I'm like, no. I'm sorry. Send me the pictures. Yeah, but I'm not spending money to travel.
Yeah.
All right, so 5 year minimum.
Yes.
Before we get to the first mil.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's fine. All right, the next one, this one here. This is about direct versus indirect involvement.
Mm.
And I'm going to go back to the Drake quote. So I hear the argument that, you know, because you're being married for a certain period of time, that even if the person is not connected directly to the success of the... spouse that's bringing home the income, whether they're, you know, a man or woman, that they're still entitled to a large portion of the overall net worth.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's crazy.
I think it's not. It really does depend, right? It context matters, yes. But if we're kind of looking at it on black and white, right? If someone was married for 20 plus years, they were a contributing member. That partner was able to do what they did because someone was holding down the household, whether it was the female or the male. They're also a part of that brand, or whether, like, you know, you're married, keeping that together, handling the background business that often doesn't get talked about. And I remember seeing a few years ago a research study that was done with the top Fortune 500 CEOs. Mm-hmm. And they determined that the reason, the number one reason why they were able to be successful was because they had supporting partners at home. So I think if you had a significant marriage of 20 plus year, there's a dollar amount to that. There's a value that was added to that person's life.
Totally fair.
And I think indirect involvement should be a factor.
And I totally agree with that. And just to kind of clarify, I'm not saying that indirect involvement shouldn't be valued. I 100%
agree. But not as much.
So, yes, not as much, right? And not as much as direct involvement.
Okay, so help us see a picture. If someone was indirect involvement for the success, what would you think is a fair percentage of the net worth?
I feel like you're asking me this because you know my answer already.
I think I have an idea, yes.
I would say somewhere between 5 and 10%.
Oh, my God. I feel like the episode we talk about tipping.
About tipping, I know. I'm consistent. So again, I think 5 to 10% for indirect involvement, and I think 70 to 80% for direct involvement.
So you are consistent because that's how you are with tipping.
So when I say direct involvement, what I mean is, for example, in the case of Dr. Dre and his estranged wife, Nicole, if she was, like, in the studio, like, pressing the beat pad and, like, helping him to make the beats or even just setting up the equipment, right? Like, if there was something that she was directly doing that was contributing to his success, I give that high value. And again, I'm not saying that what she did as a mother or as a parent, any of the other things that she did that were either tangible or intangibles, because you're right, I will say this. the brand of marriage, especially in American culture, is a valued brand, right? So
yes.
So, you know, she helped to kind of keep that up. And again, I don't know all of what she did, so I don't want to get too much into the nitty-gritty, but I'm pretty sure she wasn't in the studio rapping.
Probably not. But Dr. Dre's business is like you said, it's an empire. He built something from the ground up. I'm pretty sure there's a lot behind the scenes that she had to do in her 22 years of marriage.
Fair
whether
enough.
It
yeah.
was coordinating, having people stay at their place, hosting, going to functions, whatever, you know. I'm not a celebrity, so I have no idea what they do. But I'm sure that there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that allows him to be at the top of his game. And not to mention, you know, I would place the indirect a little higher in percentage. So like raising 12. His kids, she raised their kids and also kids from another marriage. And all of them keeping a home, that has a value.
We're going to talk about raising kids in a second, but go ahead.
Okay, so that all of that has a value, and that she sacrificed her own career goals for the marriage. I think that has a value. And not just for women. Like, if it was a stay-at-home dad, we would feel the same exact way, right?
Totally. Yeah, no, I would give the same percentage.
Yeah. You're for J-Lo, right? Well, you wouldn't say for J-Lo. He was dancing in the background. I know, was that direct or indirect?
That was actually, you know, that's a good point. That was direct.
Who remembers the background dancers? That wasn't direct in her revenue, right?
I think so, because you know when you know the backup dancers have something to contribute. But yeah, that's a fair point. But his problem was he did it for only 9 months.
Yes.
So anyway, and he got like, you know, many millions out of that. So kind of going with that point and our next consideration around raising children, right? Because I think this also becomes a very touchy subject and one that can go in either direction. And we want to, again, clarify this has nothing to do with gender. We're talking about both those dads that choose to stay at home while the wife goes and, you know, kind of, you know, becomes the main breadwinner, and the same for stay-at-home moms. So I have no issues with children and the importance of being able to have someone that you trust and love and know that is taking care of them while you are kind of going and able to focus on bringing in as much money as possible. All I would ask for is a little bit of evidence as to how direct your involvement was. Because especially when we talk about these high-profile athletes and actresses, there's often a lot of support that happens in the child-rearing department that I think we sometimes kind of overlook because this person is a parent.
So what are you talking about? You want to make sure that the stay-at-home parent was actually a stay-at-home parent.
Yeah. Like, not that you were responsible for hiring the nanny, who was actually the one spending most of the time with the kids.
But if they have a nanny and they're still involved, you're not talking about parents who are involved in their child's life and have a nanny for help. You're talking about parents who have a nanny and then they're never home. And the kids are being taken care of by the nanny.
I'm just saying it wouldn't just be kind of like a blanket pass to say that you're a stay-at-home parent and you're taking care of the kids. Like, let's talk about what level of involvement do you actually have in your children's lives. And to be quite honest, like, how well of a job are you actually doing in that department? If you're a bad dad and you're like, I was in charge of watching the kids while you went and, you know.
But is that the reason why they're getting a divorce? So like, so if he didn't have a problem or she didn't have a problem with it.
Okay.
And now it becomes an issue in the divorce. As a judge in this very important case.
Yes, yes.
I will find that a little suspect, right? Now, if that's the reason for the divorce and that they weren't an adequate parent, then I think that would factor in. But if he was happy with how things were, mm-hmm. they were married for that whole time, and now he wants to go back and say, "Well, I wish you would have done that differently," you don't get to take that back.
Yeah, but again, I'm not saying that it's not worth. I would also tie a percentage to this.
Okay, what would the percentage be?
But you know, again, like looking at, you know, 100% as fully involved, you're there every day with the kids. And then looking at the 5 to 10%, if you were just simply kind of kicking back and going shopping while the nanny was the one watching the kids for you, or you were just kind of horrible, maybe I'd say that.
That that's kind of hard to prove, isn't it?
It is. I'm just asking for a little bit of evidence. Like maybe show some pictures of, like...
Some pictures of going to the game. Yeah. Like, going to parent-teacher night.
Give me some photo ops. Yeah, you know. Like, just jazz it up a bit.
You would be a tough judge.
I would be a fair judge.
I don't know. And I think that is what is so difficult in these divorce cases where income is so skewed, right? When only one person is making all of the money or the majority of the money, that is so hard to put value on the other stuff, right? Because it's not really concrete. And then it becomes a tit for tat where, like, well, you were only with the kids this much, or you were only with, or you only did this amount of stuff. So it becomes really, really complicated. I do think that for me, out of all of these, the length of time that you were married is probably the most influential one for me.
Yeah. No, I think totally agree in that regard, except I might maybe go more with the direct and indirect.
And I see that too. I think, like, I see some of that. Like, for in the example of, what's that guy's name from the Beatles?
Paul McCartney.
He was married for a very short time. That's already an ex for me. But all of his fortune he earned before he even met her. Yeah. And he had to give her such a huge settlement for, like, a 4-year marriage?
4-year marriage, yeah.
That seemed more like a business move and not a relationship.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I think kind of how many of these are calculated, where they're looking at the total... kind of amassed wealth versus the amount of during kind of what you amassed during the time of the marriage. I do think that distinction is an important one to make, because you had clearly nothing to do with all the years before you were married.
I think the biggest thing here is people should get prenups. Made things so much easier.
Yeah, that's a tough one though, because I think the idea of a prenup is that you're anticipating the separation.
Yeah, it does kill the romance a little bit, doesn't it?
Just a smidge, yeah. Like, I love you, but
just in case.
Yeah, yeah, you know, who knows? I don't know the future.
Yeah.
Okay, so Fab, I think we've done a good job. I think we can take this list to the Supreme Court now.
Supreme Court? We don't even get to celebrity court, I think.
I know a guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I know a guy. And I think, you know, something like this, they would definitely consider our opinions about this.
Well, I would love to play with millions and millions of celebrities' money and decide how, okay, this is how much you get. That would be really, really fun.
Yeah, I'm sure they would appreciate that too. So tell us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you as always. Do you agree with our list and our consideration for how the alimony should be dispersed? Again, doesn't matter gender. We're just looking at the value that someone may bring and kind of how we interpret that value. So as always, we'd love to read your comments. You can visit us, post them, subscribe on our website at imopodcast.com and our Instagram, inmyopinion_podcast. As always, this is just our opinion.
We would love to hear yours.